Please stand and turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 and 3, the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, message number 17. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. My. Some people would rather die by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt than to not have the food they wanted. When we sat by the flesh pots, notice how they say it, and when we did eat bread, my, to the full. Not just for nourishment. We just sat by the flesh pots and just stuffed ourselves. Does that sound familiar? Don't mess with a glutton when it comes down to their food. They will hurt you. And all of you gluttons know what I'm talking about. Once you get that plate of food from the flesh pot, you don't want to be disturbed. You might as well just put a don't disturb sign on your door. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness, there's no flesh pots, there's no meat to eat. It's hot enough, we can bake some bread in this heat, but we don't have any wheat. No oats like we had down in slavery. I'd rather be in slavery as long as I got my flesh pots. And my bread. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. My God. Here we go again. Overstating the situation. Esau lied and said he was about to die. Now the Israelites are lying to Moses, saying we're about to die of hunger out here in the wilderness. I tell you, people get beside themselves when it comes down to that food. You know it. You got some folk in your life that way. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your everlasting word. And we pray that your holy word would find a lodging place in our hearts and help us not to be a people more concerned about the flesh pots and the bread than we are about you and our own deliverance from sin and evil. Have mercy and grace upon those of us who are gluttons, who love food too much, and therefore we show that we love ourselves too much. And so, Lord, help us not only to seek forgiveness from you, but to repent of our evil deeds, including gluttony. Crush and crucify our flesh, the old man within us all, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to change, to repent, to go in another direction permanently by your grace. Save that soul that is nearest hell. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I'm already sweating because I just got through doing some intense HIIT-like exercise. Most of you gluttons would know what HIIT exercise is, H-I-I-T. But you need to do it. Now, it's not only about cutting back on your food. It's about increasing exercise as well. And so I recommend HIIT exercise. And it'll get you moving, get you going. And as it has been a tradition for me for almost 40 years, I don't know where it came from. I didn't get it from a book. But I always wanted to exercise before I preach. Now, one thing I have noticed, it seems like my thoughts come to me faster after some good exercise. I don't know if that has something to do with blood flow to the brain, but that's what I've done for many years. It has not helped my midsection for some reason, but maybe I'm taking in more than what I should. No doubt. Charles Finney, the great prophet and evangelist and attorney, some years ago said, "If you are inclined to eat too much, you must deny yourselves those kinds of diets that betray you into gluttony." Whatever those kinds of diets are of which you are so fond, he understands. Now, Charles Finney was not a glutton. He's a very skinny man. But somehow he understood we are fond of certain foods. Yes, we are. Oh, yes. And that overcome you when placed before you and lead you to transgress the laws of your being. My. I told you that he was a lawyer. I've never heard of transgressing the laws of your being. That means you're sinning against yourself when you eat too much. And when I eat too much, I am sinning against myself. Being put, your very being, put them entirely away. Do not suffer them to find a place upon your table. Instead, put some lettuce, the things that we gluttons hate, lettuce, celery sticks, carrots, some little fake dip made out of lemons and olive oil and all the other good stuff that we hate. And some beans and peas and things like that. Put that on your table, stuff that you hate, not that which you love. That's what Finney is saying to you and to me. Beloved, according to Stanford Healthcare Center, obesity is a major cause of joint problems, including arthritis. Obesity can affect the knees and hips because of the stress placed on the joints by extra weight that is not supposed to be there. Amen, somebody. This is why we gluttons suffer. I thank God I haven't had this experience yet, but we suffer having to get knees replaced, hips replaced. Too much weight. And then when they cut you open to replace your hip, they see the other hip's about to give away too. And then they cut you open to replace your hip. It's like cutting a well open because of the blubber, the fat. And a little bit different at the knee. But we need to reduce the weight to reduce the pressure on our joints. How many fat people got the notion to go jogging and went jogging around the track and the knee gave out and somebody had to carry them back to the car? Too much gluttony is what the problem is. It's not the weight. That's the cause. I mean, that's the result. Those are the consequences. Gluttony is the sin that causes it. Joint replacement is what they call it. Surgery, while commonly performed on damaged joints, may not be an advisable option for an obese person because the artificial joint has a higher risk of loosening and causing further damage. Even the artificial joint cries mercy from the pressure of the weight of the fat. You say, preacher, you sound so hard. You sound so hard. I know you. That's why. See, if I got an old preacher friend, if I get out of line, I start talking crazy or something, he'll say, nigga, please. He'll say, nigga, please. I don't want to hear that. But see, my older white brothers, they can't say that. They can't even say, Negro, please. They know not to say that instinctively. You watch women. Women say all kinds of mean and crazy and hateful things. I mean, they're Ace Boone Coons, they're friends. You be your age. Yeah, leave me alone, be your age. If a man says that, he can't do it. I saw a skinny preacher yesterday, bless his heart. Very sharp, white guy. Bless his heart. And he would not dare say to me, brother, you're fat. He's a tip-top shape. No fat on him at all. But he'll never pull me over to the side. He might say to me, well, I'm concerned in my brother Wyatt. I tell you, he's getting up there in the poundage, and I don't want him to die on us. He's a good brother. He's a good man and everything. And the wife said, why don't you tell him? Why don't you tell him? See, he's not going to tell me. He's not going to preach on gluttony to the 60% of the congregation who's overweight and getting ready to go eat right after he gets through preaching. He's not going to do that. But I can. I knows you. A white person, I got a friend named Brother Garrett. He said, man, he said, my dad's an old redneck. He's an old redneck cracker. He used the word, he called it, and it's a white brother now. He uses the word, the N-word he called it. He just used the word nigga like a regular word. Now, Brother Garrett is not that way. He said, my daddy, I'll tell you. He's all redneck cracker. He could tell it. See, white folk will tell the friend, man, you ain't nothing but a redneck cracker. Bro. Leave them black folks alone. They won't say nothing. But you take have a black man to go up into the cut, talking about you a redneck cracker, he won't come out. He become. Oh, yes, I can call you fat. I can call you obese. And some of my skinny preacher friends say, oh, man, I wish he quit saying that. He's going to make people mad at him. I don't care. I know what you do. I know how you do. I know you. And you can't fool me. Talking about you got a health problem that's making you fat. Yeah, the health problem is you're not pushing away from that table. Pushaways is what you need. And then do some push-ups. And ladies and gentlemen, as I have said, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us. But you've got to stop taking yourself so seriously. And you need to look in the mirror. Go to, not your mirror, the house now. That mirror on the wall is lying to you. It's making you look slimmer than what you are. It's a distortion, is what it is. Have you ever been to a fair, to a carnival, and you go in the different kind of mirrors on the wall, when you go through a little maze, and one makes you look fat, and one makes you look skinny, one makes you look like you got a big head and a small head and all that. That's what you get. That's what you got going on. When I want to go by your scale, and why is it that gluttons always lie about their weight? They 400 pounds, but they say, oh, I'm pushing 300. You're a lie. You way past 400. Well, according to my scale, your scale is rigged, and you know it. No, no. Don't look at the mirror at your house. Go to, what's that hotel we like to stay in? Drury Inn. Go to Drury Inn. It's a Christian hotel. Go to Country Inns. They're going to really get you with a real mirror. They're going to have it right there in the bathtub where you see it all. Right there. Your big fat self. And you're going to be shocked. So if you listen and take heed, beloved, to this particular series, it can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. And you need to stop taking yourself so seriously and getting offended at any little thing when somebody's trying to help you grow up. And with that today, my beloved, I'm going to close. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word that we read. We thank you for what we have already heard. There will be a part two to this message if you should tarry your coming and if you would allow us to live. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Forgive us of the sin of gluttony that has caused buku problems in our lives, in our society, in our government, in our hospitals. And the hats are off to the doctors and the first responders and the nurses who have to deal with handling overweight people that put themselves in that situation. And then these poor first responders who are in shape, nurses who are in shape, doctors who are in shape, have to struggle to move the obese people who have to go to the hospital. Lord, have mercy and grace upon us. Help us to see it as a sin, just like adultery, fornication, lying, and drunkenness. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would revive us again, even starting with this matter. Help us to repent of it, to change our ways. Help us to look at the man in the mirror and change our ways. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.